listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to it. You're back on a full week. We're going to get you all the way to Friday. Don't you worry about it. We like to call this, though, Meatloaf Monday. So hit me some meatloaf, man.
I think I'll try the meatloaf sandwich.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, meatloaf.
What is it? I'm only asking in case I have to describe it later to a doctor.
That's my favorite part.
It's nutritious. It's delicious.
Made out of meat. Add ketchup if you want. I couldn't care less.
There it is. Meatloaf Monday. Oh, my gosh. Okay, listen, we got a whole show laid on for you. But first, JP is on the board. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but people already called me out for incorrectly predicting the Florida-Tennessee game. That was the first text of the show, was somebody called
me out. It's hard being a sports prognosticator. That's second only to a weatherman.
I know. It's funny, though.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Your brother's a weatherman.
Yeah.
So the two of y'all have to pick things that people care about.
Yep.
And then get mad about.
And then they get mad and direct the blame. It's not for the week.
It's not at all. Glad you're the one. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. I intentionally have no guests today. Like, we were packed so full of all these great guests all last week, but today's, you know, topics are just so rich and so full. I thought, okay, you know what? Stop. I'm just going to go ahead and try to square up on this and do it all myself. So you guys stand by. I got a pile of material, a pile of resources, and we're going to get there. I like to call it the Triple Dipper. Hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, we're going to cook up a batch of home fries, man. There's some big doings happening right here in our backyard. In fact, what's happening is also in our neighboring states. There's a lot of things happening in and around and amongst our listening area. And every once in a while, you got to recognize that what happens in D.C. and what happens at the U.N. or wherever else on the big scale, well, that doesn't even impact your life near as much as what happens in your own backyard. So, yeah, we're going to start off by cooking up a batch of home fries. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. And then number two, are you watching the news? Are you seeing what is happening? I mean, even today, the thing that we saw that happened, what, last week or so with Trump and the president of Colombia, where all it took was some pretty much, you know, like a stiff back on our part, and next thing you know, they're capitulating. That just happened today with Mexico. Holy crap. I'll tell you all about it. There's a lot of things I'll tell you about. All of the part of the Trump administration's first 2 weeks, I'm calling it America First, and it is absolutely America First. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, there's a refreshing level of authority right now coming out of D.C. that is directing all aspects of U.S. government to remember that the only thing they're supposed to identify is Americans. I mean, like, we're talking about actual State Department cables and interoffice memorandums and executive orders all saying, hey, by the way, we identify as Americans, and that's it. And you'll be shocked when I tell you some of the things that they had to put correction on. But that's number three on the Triple Dipper, identify as Americans. So stand by for that. All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. As always, I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way opening monologue every day, brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville. Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and I'll tell you more about him in a minute, but he is indeed your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. So, all right, look, I don't know if you've been watching, but the winds of change are blowing, and they're blowing hard. I mean, it's really almost difficult to keep up. It is. Everything from banning gay pride flags at schools and putting tariffs on Canada and arresting and deporting illegal immigrants, executive orders on energy production, banning DEI in the military, you name it. It's happening at a blistering pace. Look, my job's to keep up with it so I can inform you all about it, right? And I'll be honest, I'm having to pick and choose what to cover because sometimes having 3 hours a day and multiple podcasts isn't enough bandwidth to cover it all. But I don't say that like I'm complaining. Not at all. Because what we're watching right now, in my opinion, is the restoring of the American dream. So a few years ago, Charlene, my lovely Charlene and I, we built a house. We had lived in the house prior to that one for 24 years. But the day came we began to dream about building a house that had features that, you know, we designed, we wanted, spaces that would bless our family, creating a welcoming atmosphere, places we could share with friends. It was a dream. So we went through the whole process from soup to nuts, man. We chose a design. We changed the design. We chose a contractor. We got bids and estimates, secured our financing, broke ground. And it was not always fun. I'm a pretty handy guy, but I've never built a house. So yeah, I learned all kinds of things. And I've learned in reality that sometimes the things you can't see later are what take the longest and makes the house the strongest. And one of those moments that we had to wait for was what the contractor calls getting it dried in. Now, some of y'all out there are like, that's not new to me. I'm sure it's true. But for us, getting a house dried in was brand spanking new. Getting a house dried in, what is that? That means you're getting the exterior of the house completely weatherproofed. All the walls and the roof are sheathed, right? Windows and doors are installed, and a weather-resistant barrier has been applied. It basically makes the house secure, so if it rains, that the building envelope is complete and it protects the inside from the elements. It ain't sexy. It's not the finished work. It's not all the fancy stuff, but it's key to being able to move forward. And I got to be honest with you, I once lived in a neighborhood where a contractor built what we refer to as spec houses. Those are speculative homes that are built with nobody intent on buying them yet. This contractor almost ruined our neighborhood as he built one spec house after another, and before he dried one in, he would start another one. Pretty soon we had rotting, weed-ridden half houses all over our beautiful neighborhood. Well, there's no wisdom in moving on to work another house when you haven't dried in the first one. And in my opinion, and here's where I go back to what Trump's doing, in my opinion, what we are watching right now is the Trump administration working as quickly as possible to get the American dream dried in. The Biden administration threw everything it had into open borders globalism and left us to rot like an old spec house. Windows were open, doors were open, the weather was blowing in. We have to secure the structure of the nation. Y'all, we have to solidify the weatherproofing of our economy, our borders, our security apparatus, even our culture. And we spent the last 4 years watching as the American dream was spit on by the progressive left. I mean, they trashed not just our country, but even who we are as a country. Nothing was sacred. Anything goes. Values meant nothing. Faith was mocked. There's a liberal mantra out there that says that the American dream is gone, that our nation is only for the privileged or the rich or certain racial demographics, and that systemically our nation has made it unrealistic for some people to rise up because all power is vested in the few. That somehow the ability to rise up and achieve success or to accumulate wealth or to be fulfilled has been stymied, and therefore the few must pay their fair share. Huh. So an equitable distribution, they say, can be made to those who don't have their own, quote, fair share. They call it equity, but equity was never the root basis for the American dream. But what we're watching right now as Trump works to get America dried in should not surprise anyone. I mean, he said he was going to do this, right? He said this is exactly what he was going to do. In his final speech on the eve of the last election, he swore that what you're seeing right now is exactly what was going to happen. Here's a quote from his last speech before the election day. He said, "My message to Americans tonight is simple. We do not have to live this way. We do not have to settle for weakness, incompetence, decline, and decay." He went on to say, "We'll help the world. A lot of people think we're isolationists, but we're not." He said, "But we want the world to appreciate what we're doing, and they have to appreciate that we're helping them." And then he said, "I will restore peace in the world, and I will rescue the American dream." There you go. Trump said, "Together we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country. We will launch the most extraordinary economic boom the world has ever seen." The American dream. He's rescuing it. He's getting it dried in. Well, look, the phrase American dream, it's said to have actually been coined by a historian named James Truslow Adams back in the first half of the 20th century. He wrote a book. It's an epic. It's called The Epic of America. Adams said, here's his quote, "The American dream, that dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for every man, with opportunity for each according to his ability or achievement. It's a difficult dream," he said, "for the European upper classes to interpret adequately. and too many of us ourselves have grown weary and mistrustful of it. It's not a dream of motor cars and high wages merely, but a dream of social order in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are, regardless of their fortuitous circumstances of birth or position. Yeah, well, that's, there it is. There's the birth of the phrase, the American dream. But the American dream became a thing. The American dream became something that people could actually grab hold of and want more of. Ronald Reagan once said, he said, quote, "The American dream is not that every man must be level with every other man. The American dream is that every man must be free to become whatever God intends he should become." I've also seen the American dream defined as the belief that anyone, regardless of where they were born or what class they were born into, can attain their own version of success in a society in which upward mobility is possible for everybody. Yeah, the American dream. And we know that there have been struggles for it, struggles not to create equity, as liberals would have to persuade us, but rather struggles to remove barriers that were put in place, barriers that prevented the American dream. Just remove the barriers and let it run. Martin Luther King Jr., in his letter from a Birmingham jail, he didn't call for handouts. He made his plea to simply allow that men and women of any color could pursue life without inhibition. King said at one point, "We will win our freedom because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands." He went on to say, "When these disinherited children of God sat down at lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for what is best in the American dream and for the most sacred values in our Judeo-Christian heritage, thereby bringing our nation," he said, "back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in their formulations of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence." So let me ask you, do we have that right now? I believe the answer is yes. Yes in all caps, a big fat yes. Is there work to do? Absolutely, certainly is. Every good house starts with tending the foundation, setting in the framing, ensuring good design, and then getting it all dried in so the finish work can actually take place. And the same is true of the American dream. If we're going to see the next generation have the ability to succeed, not just strive, but actually thrive, then we have to do all that we can to dispel the notions that we must spend ourselves into oblivion, giving so-called equitable shares to those who have been deemed somehow less capable. We have to take charge of our economy and ensure that we have a good foundation before we move on to sending out trillions in foreign aid to others. We have to secure our borders, because without a border, you don't really have sovereign territory and rule of law. We have to become energy independent so that bad actors on the world stage don't get the upper hand against us by setting prices and availability of energy that we need in our modern world. And I suspect, though, that some of it's going to be a bit painful. Some are going to call it trade wars. Some are going to call it, totalitarianism. Who knows? But the reality is this. Some allies will get their feelings hurt, yes. But some enemies are going to bow up and call out for reprisals, yes. But we're already seeing things come around. It's amazing what can happen when the guiding principle is to get the house fully dried in and to care about the house before you care about somebody else's house. We're still a good nation, man. We are. We absolutely are. We will help the oppressed. We will be strong allies to our friends. We'll be good neighbors to our neighboring nations. But we've got to get this house dried in first. The American dream is real. But it requires a solid foundation, and it requires to proof it from the elements. All you have to do to maintain the American dream is get this house dried in, and it'll be everything you ever hoped it would be. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I mean, you watch him, man. This is exactly what's happening. He's getting the house dried in. He's keeping the elements out. He's making sure we can do the finished work without risk of it being torn apart by outside elements. And right now, that's going to require making some people mad, and I get it. And I don't even know that I fully understand every bit of it. But I'm seeking to understand it, and one thing I do know is it has America first. And we're drying in the American dream. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, proud to announce that as of today, We are officially broadcasting on Auburn Opelika's WANI, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. So shout out to all of our Auburn folks. Give me some applause for Auburn. I think that's big doings. Glad of it. Glad to have Auburn in the Right Side family fold. So, yeah, Auburn's WANI, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. We're glad to be there. That's just cool. That's just one more thing. I'm telling you, stand by, people. Right Side's going places. All right, so let me just remind you guys, too. Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue that I just did. Attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee up in Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And listen, not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs, but I can just tell you firsthand. I mean, I know him personally. I can tell you from experience. He has been an absolute warrior on the causes and the politics that Right Side ruffians out there care about. So Attorney Stan McDonald, he can represent you in like any kind of real estate transaction in virtually any local, state, or federal courtroom. And when Stan McDonald's on your side, I like to say you're going to have no greater friend. And likewise, your adversaries will have no greater foe. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you how to reach him. If you need an attorney in North Alabama, Attorney Stan McDonald, he's at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's an America First family man. He will fight for your needs. Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. That's 256-479-3020. And do me a favor, tell him you heard about it on Right Side. Thank you very much for that. Oh, I got to do the thing. No representation made the quality of legal service before the great quality of legal service before the lawyers. I know what I said. There's no almost. That was real. You know what you heard. All right. Hey, listen, I got some text messages here. Scott from Athens says, I have always had a disdain for the word colonoscopy, but then I saw the work of Dr. Doge this weekend. Nice. I didn't know where we were going with that.
Yeah. It looks like the U.S. aid system is
Yeah. So USAID struggling. They're on a struggle bus right now.
Well, they officially announced today that Rubio is like the head of it now. Where I don't know if the Secretary of State normally is, but they made that announcement and he went on Twitter to talk about his disdain for it. So I think it's pretty much gone.
I'm going to tell you right now, I had to deal with him in the field when I was overseas in Afghanistan. And biggest waste of taxpayer dollars I ever saw. They'd come in. I mean, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, right, on a remote team. Everything we do out there puts us at risk if we're not careful. And the last thing you want to do is make promises you can't keep. And I'd have USAID say, hey, tell the team we're coming out there. We're going to fly in, and could you meet us out there at the old Soviet airstrip and then take us around? And like, okay, yeah, we do all the things. Next thing I know, they're making promises. 6 months later, I've got the Afghan warlord going, where's that stuff? Where's that money? And I'm like, I don't know, sir. That was that guy. Yeah, USAID, I got nothing for them. Nothing.
They don't deserve nothing.
Did I mention that I have nothing for them? All right, I got more text messages and more stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about down on the sweetest, prettiest little town on the plains. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi, too, all thrown in just for good measure. You see how I incorporated that in there? Did you see that?
I was really just about to say, you're going to have to reword it again.
And bam, then, yeah, just like that.
Just roll off the tongue.
Prettiest little town on the plains. We're glad to be on WANI out of Auburn, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining the Right Side family. Speaking of Right Side family, we got a lot going on right now. I am like I am taken aback. Every once in a while, I recognize that while Trump thinks he's got a lot going on in his first 100 days, woo, I'm saying the phase two of Right Side is growing like madness right now. We've got all kinds of stuff happening. The latest edition, by the way, you know, we've done a bunch of podcasts. Let me back up and say, if you're not familiar, Right Side Radio is only one of our productions. Right Side Radio, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, on all of our affiliate stations around the Southeast. But we do that as only one of our productions of the parent company, Right Side Media. The other things we do are podcasting, the written word, all of it. And the latest podcast by Emily Jones, who started Moms for Liberty in North Alabama. Emily Jones, her podcast is called The Controversial Mom. Came out to the last night, right? Last night? Am I saying that
yep,
right?
Yep, last night.
Last night. And I saw that production already has the one that I just did the raw footage on for Right Philosophy is like already ready.
Man, we got this whole week already ready to go.
Bam!
Podcast-wise.
So we got Liberty Minute ready. And then, of course, Birdman will have his on Friday.
Yep.
With a right click. What's up?
We're all right. It's all good to go.
If your entire job is just pre-scheduling things that are already in the can, we got to find more work for you to do.
there's a lot of trying to grow the social media. I'm trying to figure out.
That's happening too. I mean, I saw the stuff you put on YouTube. We got like thousands right now.
Apparently I don't know if it's because of the recent tariff stuff, but your monologue about the situation with the Colombian president blew up over the weekend on YouTube.
Nice.
Looks like people are interested in. I think that calling it Tariff Tussle maybe caught some intrigue.
I am good with blowing up on YouTube. All right, listen, we got plenty to talk about. Let me get a few text messages, though, and stay current because y'all are awesome. This audience is incredible. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. Text it or call it, same number for both. David at Bucky's says, JP, you missed the Florida-Tennessee game. Now three of the top four and four of the top six are SEC. Wait, now three. What's he saying?
Three of the top four and four of the top six are SEC teams.
Okay, I did read that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But what's even funnier is I predicted Florida to win. I didn't. The day of the game that Tennessee announced their starting point guard wasn't playing. So even more reason to think Florida would win, and Florida lost by 20. So that's SEC basketball for you.
Sports and weather, man. Sports and weather. Bob from Decatur, everybody else is just predicting talking about what already happened. Sports and weather's got to predict forward.
I know. It's easy to back or Monday morning quarterback, armchair quarterback. It's hard to predict.
You just call me an armchair quarterback?
No. Okay. I'm calling David from Bucky's an armchair quarterback.
Bob from Decatur says, hey, I haven't heard Kareem. I was thinking about this too. I was thinking the same thing. He said, I haven't heard Kareem for quite a while. Is he mad at us? He gets the benefits even if he doesn't like Trump. All right, so Kareem, if you're out there, you are overdue to call in, brother. You are. I know you owe me a steak dinner. You do. And I know that's tough. But Kareem, you are always welcome to call in, and you know it.
You're welcome to jump sides, too.
We'll
forgive you.
Yeah.
You know.
We love you in spite of yourself. Come on. Bordeaux from Harvest says that was an outstanding monologue. Thank you, Bordeaux. Appreciate you. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, Phil, unless you're borrowing money against the property you owned for a while and paid on, I do not want to hear the word equity used in anything in the Constitution or laws of the United States. I agree, man. It was never designed for equity. It's designed to create equality of opportunity, period. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that the average price of a dozen eggs in the United States is $4.15? Nah, not this past weekend when Charlene went to the grocery store. Good Lord. I think it was like $7 for, I take it back. That was $7 for a dozen and a half, which I don't know when they started doing dozens and a half.
But. I don't either. But also, I mean, the one time I went to the store, they didn't even have any chicken, like raw chicken tenders, which I use a lot of.
You've told me. That's like the staple ingredient for your diet right now.
And there was none of them. It's yeah.
Young, single guy cooks himself a lot of chicken.
Yep.
And then he says, by the way, JP, you were right about Alabama beating Georgia. Right now, I'm picking Alabama to win it all this year.
Yeah, baby.
Come on. Come on, John. War Eagle. Mark from Tony, Alabama says, I was listening to Dale Jackson last week. He said the Capitol Police didn't provoke the January 6th people with pepper spray and rubber bullets. Ashley Babbitt got murdered by a Capitol Police officer. He wasn't the same video that I was watching. I don't know to what you're referencing. I cannot speak to what Dale may or may not have said. I do know this. I don't think Dale's going to deny that the Capitol Police didn't get heavy-handed at times. And there were people there. There were protesters that screwed up, too. Let's be honest. There were protesters. This shouldn't have happened. But the vast majority of the so-called quote-unquote convictions were the heavy hand of overreaching government reaching out and tagging people who just dared to have their cell phones on somewhere in the vicinity of the Capitol, and it's just been awful. And I'm so glad that Trump saw fit to go ahead and release them. And yes, the only person who actually died at the Capitol, Ashley Babbitt, and she was unarmed. And they gave that police officer a medal because, you know, that's what you do. You give medals to people who shoot unarmed women. Just saying. At least in the Biden administration. I can go all day on that topic. All right, we got plenty to talk about. Text lines are open. Keep texting and calling. We'll take them as we go. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Okay, you know the deal. When I am resourcing the show in the mornings, when I'm getting ready to come in here and elucidate on the topics of the day, and I, you know, the goal of the show is at all times to do what I call the four E's, to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you guys on what it means to be a conservative walking around in today's world. Sometimes, though, I look at what's happening at home. It's so easy for us to get stuck in what happens in D.C. It's so easy for us to just forget, though, that what happens here in our backyard can matter just as much, if not more. And when that comes together, and I got a series of news stories, I got to cook up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Sizzling. Sizzling. Cook them up. All right. So let's run down some stories here in the home fries category. First of all, if you are not familiar, I tell you what, JP, I needed something that was not printed out for me. Would you ask Alicia to print out the op-ed that I just sent out? I need that for what I'm about to do. The one that was sent out over the weekend. I've got a story here from AL.com. Alabama is going into legislative session like tomorrow. Well, the state legislature, y'all, when the state legislature goes in, you have no idea how much that really, I mean, I thought I knew how much that impacts our life until I got down there as a state senator myself in Montgomery. And I was literally sort of taken aback by the job that I had just been elected to do, not like in a bad way, like I was like, oh no, I can't do this. I was just like, wow, there's even more than I thought there was. Y'all, it's everything from how much gas tax you pay at the pump to whether or not you're allowed to have Sunday alcohol sales in your community to what are the criminal penalties going to be for this crime or that crime and any crime, and will they make something a crime? And then next thing you know is how do we pay for mental health and who funds the education dollars for your classrooms? All of it. So right now is that time of year. And let me just back up and ask you guys, if I dare to say, I'm going to give you some homework. I would encourage you to find out who, if you don't already know, who your state House and state Senate members are in your neighborhood. Because they're right down the road from you. Like I can tell you right now, the guy who represents the state House district that I, the Charlene and I live in, I drive by his house every day on the way to my house. Just a nice house out in the bend. And then the state senator, the one who replaced me, when I chose not to run again, Andrew Jones came in and he has the county. I know exactly where he lives in Cherokee County, just adjacent to the county I'm in. And we see each other fairly regularly. What I'm saying is get to know who they are. If you don't know who they are, your state legislature, whether you be one of our listeners in Tennessee or you're over in Georgia or you're right here in Alabama or for that matter, even down in Florida, your state legislature, you go to your Secretary of State's website, I guarantee you, they're going to have a place where you can type in your zip code and it's going to take you to who your elected officials are. And then make it a point to meet them. One of the things that I will tell you is you'll probably be shocked how normal they are. Like, sometimes they're disturbingly normal. Like, you know, how did you get dressed in the morning normal? How were you ever able to run your business kind of normal? You know what I'm saying? They're people like you and me. They put their pants on one leg at a time. And these folks, though, they make decisions every day that deal with things that you care about. And they go to your churches, they eat in your restaurants, and they're right down the way from you while you're in the mall. I mean, they're all around you, and you might not even know they're the ones who are passing the laws you have to live with. Get to know them. Even if all you do is just call them up and say, I'd just like to meet you at some point. Could I come by and have a cup of coffee at your office? And they'll probably say, I don't have an office, because they don't. They're just part-timers in the legislature who have a job doing something else. When I sat on the floor of the Alabama Senate, I feel like I'm chasing a rabbit right now, but I think it's important for me to convey to you how normal and approachable these people really are. When I was in the Alabama Senate, there I am. I'm an attorney. I'm sitting, in my seat on the floor of the Senate. To my right, I'm picturing where everybody was. To my right was a retired teacher. To my left was a retired Marine. To his left was a guy who owned a small barbecue restaurant in Huntsville. Right in front of me was a dentist. The guy to his right was a farmer. And the guy to the left was an ophthalmologist. I mean, they're just people. They're just folks. They got the same backgrounds. Everything was in our legislature. Every kind of business. Some of them were public. Some of them were actually like the guy who was a retired teacher sat next to me, Rusty Glover. Great guy. Love Rusty. One of the most conservative members of the Senate. Just a dynamic, strong, principled individual. And he was actually still teaching for much of the time that we were sitting next to each other. He retired, I think, in the last year we were together in the Senate. All that to say, y'all, they're normal people. But they have a very abnormal job, and they pass laws that you and I care about at your state level, because your state code, your state taxes, your state constitution, I mean, are you for or against the lottery? It happens in Montgomery. Are you for or against the gas tax? It happens in Montgomery. Are you for or against paying more for Medicaid or expanding Medicaid? It happens down in Montgomery. Are you for or against school choice? It happens down in Montgomery. Are you for or against a hotel lodging tax? Happens down in Montgomery. All this stuff. I can't even begin to describe how much goes through that state house. I'm going to talk about it in more detail. I'm going to take a real quick phone call from Brian from Huntsville. I realized he was just on the line, so let me grab that real quick. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing mighty fine, and you can prime that early, too. If you attend your school meetings, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can go to those, and you can go to your county commissioners, because a lot of those are looking to go up in office. You can foster a relationship right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early in the thing. And, oh, by the way, as far as the chicken tenders goes, let's say Blank the Sailor Man's chicken has some unbreaded blackened chicken tenders that are phenomenal.
Oh, okay. So you're heading
absolutely
down.
Wonderful.
I got you. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good one. Goodbye.
He's right. There are any number of opportunities. They always come to school functions, local. They're at the fair. You know, they're walking around shaking hands and glad-handing at the football games on Friday night, and they do it on purpose. I did it all the time. For 8 years, I was in the Senate, and that was my favorite part, was being out among folks. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now while JP figures out where he's getting those chicken tenders. We'll come right back.
I'll find a way.
I'm in a batch of home fries right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. So, talking about some home fries, right? Cook me up some home fries, JP. Hit me some home fries. Sizzle them. Cook them up. Cook them up. All right, so we're talking about stuff that happens around home, right? So, first of all, just know this. I can especially speak to Alabama, Tennessee, Florida. Our state legislatures have a Republican supermajority. That means that basically they own their own destiny, right? They control their own destiny. They can pass anything they want to. And if they don't pass it, it's because they don't want to. So when you see really, really bad bills still passing, it happened with Republicans choosing to do so. When you see really, really good bills passing, it's because Republicans decided to do it. There are very few things right now that require Democrat approval for bipartisan legislation. I'm not against bipartisan legislation. I'm just telling you that right now the Republican supermajorities in Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama have so much of a supermajority that the Democrats have almost rendered themselves irrelevant on the floor of the House and Senate. I mean, I think right now, out of 35 Alabama state senators, I want to say there's only six Democrats. That's amazing, especially when you consider that when I got elected in 2010, we came in and created the very first ever supermajority for Republicans. And so I'm just telling you, it's like they can do whatever they want to do. Well, in Florida right now, the governor called them in. The governor called them in and to a special session just on illegal immigration at the state level. So yeah, state legislatures can fight for illegal immigration laws. And what did they do? They came in and started squabbling among themselves. You had factions that set themselves up. You got there's Republicans down there that can't stand DeSantis. And they actually chose not to pass his proposed legislation. They chose to pass one of their own that was weaker. In fact, inexplicably, they chose to give immigration enforcement to the Department of Agriculture in Florida and not to the governor who controls state troopers. It just in the National Guard. It makes no sense whatsoever to me. But it's a Florida Republican supermajority squandering an opportunity. And y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, I know for a fact, I said this in my op-ed that came out this morning. It came out on 1819 News this morning. It'll come out throughout the region over the next week or so. But I said that I've seen firsthand that a really solid plan worked by a state House and Senate can do great things, and they can also screw things up. Florida screwed up on that one. In Tennessee, though, they had a high point. Those of you listeners on WGOW out of Chattanooga right now, listen, how about praise to the Republican supermajority in Tennessee that got into special session at the call of Governor Bill Lee, and they just passed a very comprehensive school choice bill. Awesome. Awesome. Comprehensive school choice in Tennessee, the Education Freedom Act. They joined states like Alabama that did that last year, the Choose Act in Alabama. So the Education Freedom Act, I mean, that's a big deal, y'all. And I'm telling you right now, why would they not? Because they have the winds at their back. Now, in Alabama, we go into session tomorrow. The regular session of the Alabama legislature starts tomorrow. And there's all the talk about, are they going to get into gambling again? Are they going to do gambling one more time? Are they going to do it for the umpteenth time? Are they really going to waste time doing that? The prevailing wisdom is right now that they won't. They don't think they have the votes. They got really burned on it last year. And when they got burned last year, part of it was they left really good stuff on the table. They had an easy layup bill like the What is a Woman Act that says that the Alabama state code will for hereafter define man and woman biologically from birth, period. It shouldn't have to be necessary, but apparently it is. The What is a Woman Act just languished. They had a simple bill to activate porn filters to protect children on the phones that they carry around in their hands. It died on the vine because they were too busy deciding whether to expand casino operations. Have they read the room? Listen, there's a whole lot going on right now, and they've got a mandate. They can do anything they want to, Republican supermajority. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Especially those of y'all that are joining us for the very first time today in WANI out of Auburn Opelika region, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. Oh, by the way, we're also in Chattanooga, WGOW up yonder. And then, of course, we're always on our Huntsville affiliate, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Glad to be with all of you. I got a call on the line, and I will take that before I dive back into my materials. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, good. Good first hour.
Thanks, man.
I'm amazed at the Democrats after what they went through in November. They could look forward to winning if they would do probably two things.
What's that?
Ever again.
What's that?
Number one, let the Democrat voters actually pick their presidential candidate instead of, you know, DNC backroom cronies.
Hey, that's asking a lot, man.
And then get behind the things Trump is doing that's going to help everybody and help all Americans, including Democrats, get behind it, be able to take some credit for the success. They can't do it. They just picked a new DNC chair who's a radical socialist,
yeah.
And David Hogg, if you hadn't seen that.
Who's a nut.
The new, whatever you call it, deputy chair of the DNC, this guy who pretended that he was in danger at a school shooting a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
And he's a rabid liberal socialist, anti-gun, anti-conservative, anti-everything I think you and I stand for. I'm like, how can you double down on stupid like that? I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, it's exactly what they've done. And I don't know if you saw any clips of the selection process, but they even at one point had to go back and recalibrate their vote because they didn't have any non-binaries in the running, and they had to correct that. And I'm like, they don't know why they lost. Look at why they lost. Here we are.
Well, they're headed down the same road again, and the current Democrat leadership complaining bitterly about everything Trump is doing at a rapid pace to make the border secure and stop the fentanyl.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But
yeah.
Hey, keep it up, guys. Keep
All right.
it up. I look forward to it.
It's exactly right. Majority. Thanks, Spark. Appreciate you, man. See you. Hey, back on this home fries segment that I'm doing right now. So I went to AL.com. Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. I got to shield y'all from some of the pain. So I went and took some of the hits myself. I went to AL.com. But they've got an article that came out today, actually. Lawmakers target crime in 2025 legislative session. Okay, we'll see. But so what are they saying? Right now what they're saying is that Governor Ivey is set to make this part of her top priorities for her legislative agenda in her State of the State address tomorrow night. So if you're not familiar, every year when the legislative session kicks off, on the evening of day one, the governor addresses the state and does her State of the State address. Lays out what she's thankful for, lays out what she's hoping for, lays out what her agenda is, and basically tries to set a tone. I have really not seen the governor's office carry a lot of weight in that regard in the last couple of years. So we'll see how she does tomorrow night. But Governor Ivey is set to give her State of the State address tomorrow night, with crime being one of the things she wants to seriously address. And rightfully so. I mean, look at the numbers, man. Birmingham, whew, Birmingham ended up with 151 homicides. That's almost a 100-year record. Montgomery saw a surge in crime, too. But I'll be honest with you, I got to give props. Montgomery decided to go ahead and help form a state and local collaborative effort called the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit, MACS, and they are apparently doing a pretty good bit. But right now, you got, once again, Republicans saying, well, we're going to have a plan, but we haven't announced it yet. This is the day before the session, and we have not seen a true legislative agenda. Now, we have seen a set of principles from the House. But they have not labeled what, in fact, they specifically said, we have not yet determined what bills will fall within those principles. Principles are hugely important. Principles guide things. But could you tell us, please, what bills you're going to try and pass to go with them? In fact, they even said in the article that I read from 1819 News last week, I think it was Friday, that, by the way, at the end of the session, they'll tell us what bills they passed that fit into the principles. I'm like, after the fact, fellas? Anyway, we'll see. I do know this. State Senator Garland Gudger from Cullman, who is slated to be voted in as the new pro tem of the Senate tomorrow, he announced that illegal immigration is going to be addressed by the state legislature. We'll see. I'm hearing nothing out of Speaker Ledbetter on that, but just the pro tem. So are they going to? I don't know. Why would they not? Why would they not? Here's something else. Last week. Home fries. Pulled this off of 1819 News. You may recall that people were kind of surprised to hear that we have a charter school in Alabama, in Birmingham, which, by the way, if something like this is going to be anywhere in the state, it's going to be in Birmingham. It's the Magic City Acceptance Academy. It's a public charter school catering to LGBTQ students. What? Yes. I don't know how this happened. I still look at this and I am shocked and amazed. How in the world in Red State, Alabama, did we see the State Department of Education approve a charter school aimed at a demographic, much less a demographic that always has controversy attached to it? Like, for instance, if somebody said, we would like to pass a white-only school, how would that go over? Even if they wanted to pass one as a black-only school, how would that go over? No. How about nada? We don't do that. That's called racially profiling students. And yet, you can have a Magic City Acceptance Academy paid for with public dollars that caters to one demographic, in this case, professing gay students. Wow. Anyway, that school is in the crosshairs, according to State Senator Arthur Orr, who is the education budget chairman for the state of Alabama. He said it's in the crosshairs because they refuse to take down their DEI platform. It's still up. Right now, the Magic City Acceptance Academy says DEI is still the way forward for them. DEI is still in their handbook. DEI is still on their website. And so Senator Orr is saying it's boiled over to where we can't ignore it, and I predict we're going to take some form of action against them in the 25 session. Okay. All right, in the realm of missed opportunities in the home fries, Birmingham. I love Birmingham, by the way. Did a lot of my growing up there. I say the Charlene says, you always say that. It's because it's true. I don't want people to think I'm bashing Birmingham like I could care less. I love the city of Birmingham. I love the Birmingham region. I did a lot of my growing up there. I mean, running barefoot through West Birmingham, which are places that are just in urban decay now. Inslee, Wylam, all that area. Granddaddy was a steel worker, the whole thing. But the Birmingham Board of Education is a cesspool. The Birmingham Board of Education and the Birmingham Waterworks Board, if you had to find two organizations that seem to always screw it up, well, there's a Birmingham City Council too. How about Birmingham governance? Anyway, Birmingham Board of Education has decided, once again, they just don't want that Alabama Aerospace and Aviation High School. And I look at it and go, why? Why would you not? It's paid for. It's working. It's got a great charter. They've got 200 students right now. They're graduating their first class coming up in May of this year. Three of their students already have their pilot's license. Several others got their aircraft maintenance certification. They're coming out of high school with, like, certification in aerospace that most kids wouldn't get until after they'd spent like 6 years in the Army or something. So it's a free public charter school, already has its charter, gone through the processes, and they're located in Bessemer because Birmingham won't take them, but they're running out of room at their current site because more folks want to be in, and they asked again, would Birmingham please take them in? And they said no. I cannot understand. Yellowhammer News has the story. Came out over the weekend. Says the school is rapidly reaching capacity with approximately 200 students. Despite the growing enrollment and soon-to-be graduated students, the Birmingham School Board still has objections to its application. CBS 42 reported the school system cited its objections from neighbors and board members as the reason why the request was denied. No, it's not. Here's what it is. The Birmingham School Board is controlled by the teachers' union. They don't want anything that looks outside of the status quo. Period. Unless it's a Magic City Acceptance Academy for LGBTQ students. And then they're all in. So let me get this straight. Birmingham can have a charter school for gay students with drag queens doing fundraisers for the students, which they did. It's in the news. Go look it up. They can have an entire school designed to be a, quote, safe place for the education of LGBTQ students, which does nothing for them in the future. But another school, a charter school, already approved, that teaches kids about aerospace and gives them a certification or a pilot's license and takes them to new levels for professionalism past post-high school, and they don't want it. Make that make sense, JP. You can't.
Well, hey, the mayor may suck, but did you see he had a cool outfit on Al Sharpton's day? Did you see that?
Did he?
He has that going for him, so.
Pray tell, what was his ensemble that he wore on the Al Sharpton show?
He wore a black shirt with a cool-looking blue dress coat. It looked pretty nice.
Was it one of his legalized marijuana t-shirts?
No, not that one.
Do you know if he had tennis shoes on with his suit like he usually does?
I assumed he had some sick kicks under the
table. Oh, man, yeah. Some gold kids or something.
While he was claiming that Birmingham had their doors wide open for illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And how they weren't cooperating with DHS to get him out. But other than that, he looked pretty cool.
Yeah. He's the bae. Yeah. He's it. He's the one. He's the cool. Anyway, no. All right, we're taking a break. I'm going to come right back, and I will finish up with home fries. I got a little more about what happened with that racy kind of Make America Great Again protest billboard with the museum down in Montgomery. I'll tell you all about it. And then, yeah, did you see the one about the young conservatives? But they're all racist, according to, you know, the New Yorker magazine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're finishing this segment up on home fries. Cook me up some home fries, JP. Cook me up some home fries. Right. There you go. Just cook them up. Smell them. All right, Yellowhammer News has a piece. I don't know if y'all saw this. Did you see, JP, about the cruel kids table? The young conservatives who partied at the inauguration.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, it was a beautiful picture of beautiful kids, and just all hanging out having a big time, except it was racist, and no one realized how racist it was until the New York Magazine decided to point it out. So New York Magazine story here on Yellowhammer took a private gathering of young conservatives in Washington, D.C., and a picture that was taken kind of from overhead looking down on the crowd having a great time. I mean, everybody was all lit up and having a big time. Lit up sounds awful. They were having a big time.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And one of them was a Mountain Brook native, Anna Claire Howland, and she was like this strikingly pretty young lady sitting in the middle of the crowd and having a big time with everybody else. And they were called elitist, exclusionary, conservative youngsters, basically. Because there weren't any white people in the picture. Except, have you seen the full picture?
Yeah, they cropped out They cropped out black people.
Multiple black people in the crowd. Oh, by the way, the whole party was hosted by C.J. Pearson.
Yeah.
Who's a dynamic, young, conservative black guy who goes to the University of Alabama.
I did see that they purposely zoomed in to crop all the black people out of
it's
the picture.
Just crap.
And you wonder why people don't trust media anymore.
New York Magazine. Anyway, so it's flipping on them. I mean, because the people who were there are like, hey, look, I'm a black guy and I work for Turning Point USA. Had a big time at the party. How come y'all are feeling this way? Anyway, all said and done, it's covered up with Alabama folks, C.J. Pearson, Anna Claire Howland, a whole bunch of others, and it was big doings. And it's the next generation of conservatives. And all they could do was find racism by cropping the picture to make it fit their narrative. How awful is that? Where's their journalistic ethics? I hope that somebody's... It's one thing for us to call them out on social media or me sit here and do it on Right Side Radio. They deserve to be excoriated in some way by, I don't know, who is it? The National Press Association or somebody's got to have some say.
Well, I mean, J.D. Vance even tweeted about it. So
yeah.
It's getting... I mean, they're getting hammered in the realm of public opinion, but yeah, I agree.
All right, I went to AL.com twice. Phil, did you go to AL.com twice? I did.
Do you need to go, like, take a bath or something?
I feel like I need a shower, yes, with some lye soap. All right, so, oh, that's, like, good. Lye soap, get it? Lies, the lies. I went lye soap. Okay, that's nice. That lye soap, man, that old stuff will take your skin off, let me just tell you. Remember last week we talked about the billboard down in Montgomery? So if you're not familiar, there was a billboard that showed up in multiple places around the state capitol in Montgomery. Had a picture of, it's a classic photograph of the, you know, the Bloody Sunday civil rights march where black protesters were being confronted by armed police. And it's part of history. But it's not part of the Trump administration. And yet this billboard came out with that image and the words Make America Great Again slapped over the top of it. And the logo, oh, by the way, of the Montgomery Arts Museum. Okay, as Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts. I'm sorry, I said the name wrong. Well, now the people who put it up are mad because it got taken down. It's censorship. They're calling it public art. It was public art. You should have taken it down. It was our chance to speak out, talk about Trump. No, it wasn't. No, it's purely political. Absolutely political. It's also asinine. All right, last story I got on the home fry section. I think that almost everywhere we have an affiliate station and a lot of listeners, Church of the Highlands is got a campus, and so that's where the lovely Charlene and I have been going to church now for gosh since 2009, I think, Church of the Highlands, JP, I know you've been visiting there since you moved to the Gadsden area. Church of the Highlands just announced yesterday that the founding pastor, Chris Hodges, who's a great guy, who is a dynamic leader, that church has, it's only 24 years old. Yesterday was the anniversary, 24 years. Look at where they are. They have a fully accredited, massive university now. They've got multiple campuses in 26 different cities around the Southeast, and they're in all 28 of the Alabama correctional facilities doing live services now every Sunday. It's amazing. They have a weekly attendance of 60,000 people among all their campuses. Well, Chris Hodges announced yesterday that he is stepping down as the founding pastor, and he will be listed. I think he's going to be, what was his title going to be? Do you remember, JP? Is his title going to be founding pastor?
Yeah, founding pastor is what he said.
Yeah, and then senior pastor is going to be Mark Pettis, who's been the dean of the college. Anyway, I brought that story up. I pulled the piece off 1819 News, but we were there yesterday to actually hear the announcement. And that's one of the biggest churches in the entire United States now, having a massive impact on the state of Alabama and Georgia, going through a change in leadership, but they handled it so graciously well. He's not leaving. He's just transitioning because he recognizes there's a time for new blood. He does not want it to get stale, and he feels called by God to spend more time with the students at the college. All amazing. All right, we're switching gears. We come back. It's America First. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about down yonder in the prettiest little town on the plains. And then there's big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for the good measure. All right, listen, that's in case you didn't catch that, we just today went on the air in WANI out of Auburn, Opelika, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM. We're proud to be part of their network and proud to have them part of the Right Side family. So stay tuned. We got more things coming in the future. We look forward to letting you know as they develop. But I will say this, if you're not familiar, Right Side Media is the company. Right Side Radio is one of our productions. We also have multiple podcasts, and the latest edition of the Controversial Mom podcast came out last night. I forgot what day it was for a second there. Last night. So, yeah, the Controversial Mom podcast is out. You can find all of our podcasts and all of our written stuff on our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. And you can also find a lot of it on YouTube, including JP does a ton of work making shorts and putting up the monologue that I do every day and different videos and things. So we got a ton of video work on our YouTube channel. And if you go to it, it would mean the world to us if you'd hit subscribe. Doesn't charge you a thing, doesn't send you emails. All it does is help you find us later, but it lets us grow as a company. So we would appreciate that very much. You said you had some YouTube comments going right now today too, right?
We had a YouTube comment from Chris Ball. We were talking about Alabama and the Birmingham area, and he just said that Alabama has a blue belt and I can't stand it. That's what he says.
Has a what?
Has a blue belt.
A blue belt.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is, right across the middle. It's a blue belt.
I was not even tracking. I'm so sorry. I got stuck in karate. I didn't know where I was. You're right. We do. It's kind of weird. It right smack through the center of the state. There it is.
I kind of have hope for it in the sense of the Caroline Dobson race was a lot closer than I thought it would be. So it gives me hope that, you know, the conservatives in the area are getting fed up with the politics there as well.
I hope so. And I tell you what, Birmingham, how many times have I said Birmingham, the magic city, has become like the tragic city in some ways. And Birmingham's going to have to reclaim its politics. And it's not a racial thing or anything but a liberal left wing versus right wing stuff. That's the conservative policies are what it's going to take to bring Birmingham back to the forefront of being a dynamic city where great things happen and people thrive.
By the way, it won't change until you get a mayor that's not a mayor just to be a celebrity, which is it drives me up a wall to see him going on a book tour on shows, you know, because every single one of these is, you know, promoting his Son of Birmingham book. And it's like, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah. I can't even add to that, man. several text messages in. Brian from Decatur said the biggest threat to Republicans and conservatives is Republicans and conservatives. Wow. Too often true. John C. from Madison says, is that the same David Hogg that made himself a nuisance during the Florida shootings at that school down there? I don't know which one you're talking about, but yes, this would be the David Hogg that every time, and granted, he was a school shooting survivor, and I don't know where he was in terms of being close proximity to the shooters. Doesn't matter. He was in the school. He lost friends. And so but he's turned into this. I mean, instead of using it for purposes that you would find honorable, he's just become this extremist whack job. And now he's the vice chair of the National Democrat Party, which I'm thinking they apparently don't want to win. Bruce from Springville says, Birmingham is a city that will not grow up in modern times. It misses out on crucial projects, growth projects, due to its corrupt city government. Yep, nailed it. Thomas from Athens, he says, City of Birmingham leaders' screw-ups are historical. In the 1950s, when Delta was looking for a new regional airport, first they looked at Birmingham, second looked at Atlanta. But Birmingham city fathers declined to pursue it, and Atlanta leaders did. I have heard the same thing. There's a story out there. You ought to look this up, JP. See if you can find something that Disney World considered Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. Is that true? I don't know. But it's one of those urban legends that I know I've heard multiple times. Did you find anything? Did you just find something?
No.
Okay.
I'll go on the dark web and do some searching. Let's see if I can dig into
it. Go do some of that special magic production stuff you do. Brian from Huntsville says, censorship. Ask Judge Roy Moore about his experience. Yeah. Oh, I don't have to. I was in the thick of that. So Judge Roy Moore, when we had all the so-called scandals, keep in mind, Judge Roy Moore is from Etowah County, which is where I'm sitting right now. At the time, I was his state senator, and I was his Republican Party chairman in Etowah County. I got to the point that I finally had to tell my secretary I will take no more calls from the media. None. It was a feeding frenzy. I think it was the Brett Kavanaugh. I think that was the audition for the Brett Kavanaugh tactics they used. But
well, by the way, it wasn't Birmingham. It was Mobile.
Mobile.
The AL.com says, legend has it Mobile officials years ago fumbled an opportunity to bring Walt Disney to South Alabama, but then says, I find this funny, Disney historians say there is no indication Walt Disney considered Alabama. But yeah, that's the rumor I'm seeing on here.
Disney historians.
Yeah, Disney historians.
There's a job.
Yeah, I know.
What's your job? Well, I'm a Disney historian. Wow.
So yeah, that's a.
What shoes did Mickey wear in his first go around?
Is Walt Disney in a block of ice under? Have you heard that rumor before?
No.
Yeah.
Stop it. Now you know there was a space themed Disneyland style development in Madison, and it's. I mean, you still see it out there. They built the neighborhood on top. They built lakes and everything to go with it. And I've forgotten the name of it, but it was gorgeous. And now there's this beautiful neighborhood out there near where your cousins live.
Yeah.
That is, have you ever seen the storylines on that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's crazy. But Space City USA or something like that, that's it. I think, look up Space City USA Huntsville. See what happens. I think that's what it was called. While you're looking that up, John from Brownsboro says, journalistic ethics, that's like an honest politician. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. Glad Trump's not a politician. Nice.
Space City USA amusement park proposed in the 1960s.
Yep.
So there was a planned theme park near Huntsville.
It was going to be huge.
Located adjacent to Lady Anne Lake between Huntsville and Decatur.
Yep.
Yep. This is 1960s.
Yep. It was going to be something else.
There's a whole old school theme poster right here of it too. It's theme park Space City USA, Huntsville, Alabama.
That would have been something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Could have been the next Disney. David at Bucky says, any updates on the new Right Side store? Man, we were just talking about that. Just literally off air. We were just making some of the final details and going over it. Yeah, so basically you're going to have that. We expect this week, David, to launch the new merch store online. Thank you for asking. We got coffee mugs. We got T-shirts. We got hats. And we've got, oh, by the way, the very cool Bulletproof Influence highball glasses, which I think are my favorite. I'm going to describe them now. I'm going to tease the audience because you're going to want one of these highball glasses. Picture this, highball glass with the embedded .308 bullet in the side of the glass and the engraved Right Side Media / Bulletproof Influence logo. Oh, yeah, it's going to be something. Yep, thanks, David. Merch store starts this week. Roy from Hartzell says, heads up, Right Side Media live video feed. Nope, we're not. We're good. We're all good.
Roy, I'm about to send you a text right now. I don't know where you're watching, but everything's just good on my end.
Yeah, so. Roy, you might be watching. There's another company out there called the Right Side Broadcasting Network. They spell their name different, and sometimes they do things that are different than us, and that ain't us. So we're up and live and watching. Everybody's watching right now. So send him the link. All right, listen, I'm going to jump into my next segment. And I'll wind up getting most of this after the break, but let me just tell you, Make America Great Again is an America First agenda. You are seeing things happening right now in real time that are, I mean, you're watching foreign policy things happen at breakneck speed that normally would have taken summits and long negotiations and the, you know, cables back and forth among, you know, back channels and no. What we're seeing right now is mano a mano, President Trump standing toe-to-toe with other world leaders and going, you know what, we're just not doing that, so how about you fix it? And it's getting fixed. Do you remember the thing we had last week about, was it last week, Colombian president? Was that last week?
It was.
Yeah. The Colombian president was refusing to take in the criminals being flown, illegal immigrants being flown back into his country in the deportation process. And so Trump said, fine, guess what? You got some big tariffs coming. Oh, by the way, we're also rejecting your visa applications. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be sending home your diplomatic officials. It didn't take until like an hour later for the Colombian president was not only on board with the plan and helping out, he was even announcing that he would use his presidential plane to help bring some of those prisoners home. Come on. Well, we had another one of those today. So, I mean, I've got so many stories here about America First, but I got to tell you, the tariff story seems to be overwrite. And I'll be honest with you, does it make me a little antsy? It does. Not about Mexico. I could care less. I mean, go ahead and tariff the crap out of them. I know we have a big trade imbalance with them. They get more out of us than we get out of them, so go for it. Canada makes me nervous. Why? Because it's Canada. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like picking on your little brother or something. It's at some point you go, ah, bad form. But I also recognize what's happening. And I also trust the Trump administration right now to do what they were elected to do. And when I look at the fact that we have a multi-billion dollar trade deficit with Canada, our neighbors to the north, we are having fentanyl and illegals crossing that border at a larger scale than we had ever had before, although the southern border is the real talking point for that. But it's still happening in the north. And Canada's governance under Justin Trudeau is kind of like the, meh, we could care less. You're concerned down there, America? Meh, we could care less. They're so busy being liberal progressive that the idea of helping us with what we believe is a better agenda for America is like antithetical to common sense to them. Not no mo, we are looking at things happening. Now, Mexico was facing 25% tariffs on imports into America. All their American exports were going to wind up being sanctioned with 25% tariffs. It was going to have a dramatic impact on their economy. The Mexican president originally decided that Claudia Sheinbaum, by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how a Mexican president has the name Claudia Sheinbaum. That's like a Jewish grandmother from New York.
It does seem like it doesn't fit.
Where's Miss Sheinbaum? Ah, with the gefilte fish, eating the Sheinbaums that they are. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Meshuggah. I mean, that's what it feels like. Anyway, Claudia Sheinbaum. I may get slapped with a YouTube violation. I don't know what just happened.
Hate speech.
Anyway, but Trump slapping tariffs on Canada, China, and Mexico as of tomorrow. I mean, like, no fooling. 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, 10% tariffs on China. I'm not sure why only 10% on China. Maybe they have more things that we need. We didn't want to screw that part. But the reality is, we have never seen this happen before. Has there been trade imbalance? Certainly. Have there been negotiations? Certainly. Has there been NAFTA and stuff like that where we've negotiated the opportunity for free trade across borders? Certainly. Has Mexico been hosing us for the last few years? Absolutely. Well, Mexico got a call. Donald Trump said 25% tariffs. By the way, they go into effect on Tuesday at noon. Signed the executive order. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. Suddenly, Claudia Sheinbaum wasn't going to be in the tariff war with America anymore. They had a phone call. Trump says it went very well. It was a very friendly call. President Sheinbaum came out and said, we're on board. We're going to be helping out. We're sending 10,000 Mexican troops to the southern border now to assist with blocking the illegal immigration traffic and to stop the drug trafficking across the U.S. border that are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. So Sheinbaum made the announcement on her own social media, like 12 hours before the tariffs go into effect. She makes her announcement, says that Mexico is going to be all in on helping combat drug trafficking. Says that this is happening like immediately. And also says, by the way, the President of the United States has assured her that the tariffs are now delayed by 30 days to let her get her plan in place. And Trump confirmed it. Y'all, if that's not an America first, make things happen agenda, I don't know what is. That happened like overnight. That didn't take a daggum UN moderated giant summit with everybody sitting on opposite sides of the table. That was a phone call. That was an executive order followed by a phone call, and by God, it got something done. Have you seen this in recent years? No. All right, we got to take a break. I'm fired up about this one. I got a whole stack of this kind of stuff. Y'all are going to love this segment. America first. That's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we went to break. And literally, I told you right before the break, in terms of America first, that Trump had a phone call and fixed things with Mexico, allegedly. They're going to put 10,000 of their Mexican troops on the southern border. They're going to be cooperating with immigration and drug controls. JP was telling me earlier that he saw where they arrested a major cartel kingpin. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt because it's Mexico. But dang, that's more than we've seen, right? And, oh, by the way, it caused Trump to be able to say, okay, great, then I'll hold off on these tariffs for 30 days. So that just happened. We went to the break, and shabam, the news broke, like, while we were on the break.
Like, literally as Phil stopped talking.
Yeah, I stopped talking. We went to the break, and I looked at the screen, and I went, he blinked. So Trudeau just blinked, and Canada is doing the exact same thing. In fact, we had to research it. It took a while to find the story because it's so fresh, but I'm looking at Reuters saying that, yes, U.S. President Donald Trump will postpone threatened tariffs on Canadian imports for at least 30 days. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau just recently said in a post on his Twitter feed. And then, JP, you found a more detailed of what it is that Canada is going to do to avoid the tariffs. What was that?
Yeah, so it says they're implementing a $1.3 billion with a B border plan, reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology personnel, and such, and coordination with America. It said also there's going to be 10,000 frontline personnel to go to the border, like what Mexico did. In addition, Canada is appointing a fentanyl czar, and it said they will list cartels as terrorists, ensure 24/7 eyes on the border, launch a Canada-U.S. joint strike force group to combat organized crime, fentanyl, and money laundering. It says that he also signed a new intelligence directive on organized crime and fentanyl, and they'll be back into it with $200 million. So that's, yeah, that's a lot.
That just happened, like, pretty much overnight.
Yes, yeah.
Can I just point out how not hard that was?
Yeah.
What did we just do for the last 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I recognize that the Biden team were a bunch of globalists who did not want borders, and they were taking money from George Soros, even giving Soros a medal, his open border society. But what we just witnessed is when you put America first and you say, okay, the overarching principle here is America first. So Mexico, fix yourself. Or we're gonna double up on tariffs. Hey, Canada, by the way, yeah, you're our friend. We play hockey and baseball and all that together, but fix yourself, or we're going to wind up having some tariffs, and you're not going to like it.
By the way, I think that proves they need us more than we need them.
Yeah. I think it also proves what happens when you have leadership, actual leadership at the helm. Right now, my God, America first. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. We are glad you are with us, and glad to see that the Right Side footprint continues to expand across this beautiful Southeast U.S. I'm talking about everywhere, Southeast United States. We're planning on just saturating the ground with Right Side ruffians out there doing the good deeds. But yeah, we're glad to add Auburn's WDANI, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM to the fold, and look forward to a long relationship with them. So America first. It's amazing what can happen when you actually put America first. I don't know. Maybe America actually wins. I mean, What's so striking about this is not just that it's happening, but that it's happening so fast, which clearly indicates it could have happened at any time. It's a leadership issue. That's exactly what's happening right now as you're watching leadership that puts America first say, I'm sorry, but I will not negotiate against my people. Fix it. Or else. And guess what they do? They fix it. Because they know or else is real. I mean, everybody knows that Trump has a history of saying what he means and meaning what he says. Iran, don't do that anymore. Oh, you did that? Okay, I killed Soleimani. I mean, that's he just does stuff. By the way, something that got hardly any attention because, and this is the thing right now, y'all. The Make America First or Putting America First agenda is happening. There's so much of it happening at one time that like what would have been a big story gets lost sometimes. This one got lost. Did you hear about the seven prisoners released in Venezuela?
I did. I mean, it was short-lived, but yeah, I heard it initially when the news came out.
Short-lived, like...
Short-lived in terms of the headline, like it didn't get much of...
These are seven American citizens that were being held by Venezuela that nobody in the Biden administration even went and visited. Like the consulate never even visited them. So Rick Grenell, one of the former intelligence officials under the Trump first administration, he just went down to Venezuela, apparently met with President Nicolas Maduro, the socialist, and came back with seven or six Americans. Just like that.
And I didn't even know there were six American hostages down there.
And you look at this and go, my gosh, if this can happen like that, it's just another weekend in the Trump administration. Hey, we're going to put tariffs on Canada. Oh, Canada's going to help us with the border now. Hey, we're going to put tariffs on Mexico. Yeah, Mexico's going to help us with the border right now. Ah, we're going to send Rick down to Venezuela. What's he going to do? Hey, he's going to free some Americans who have been held prisoner by a foreign government. Really? Yep, six of them. Brought them home this weekend. He says, we are wheels up. This is a post that he put on his X page. He said, we are wheels up and headed home with six American citizens. They just spoke to real Donald Trump. In other words, the president talked to him too. So they just spoke to real Donald Trump and they couldn't stop thanking him. Grenell posted a photo of himself leading the Americans out of the plane with the caption, we are home. God bless these Americans. I mean, this is... Oh, by the way, while he was there, he just went ahead and secured the agreement for Venezuela to repatriate its illegal immigrants that we send back. They're going to take them. Sure. Why not?
By the way, I'll add to the win list. I don't know if it's in your stack, but Rubio going to Panama.
I was
going
to get to that.
Yeah.
That is a good story. Mm-hmm. That's next. How much time we got? We're good.
We got nothing but time.
Listen, this is... Okay. So, this is... Are you tired of winning yet, JP?
I'm not.
All the winning. So much with the winning. I got speed wrinkles on my face from the winning blowing past me.
Where there's so much winning, I think we're forgetting more winning than happened during Biden's administration.
I thought we've already forgotten about Biden. Biden who?
Yeah.
Joe what? It's as if he was never here.
This is Trump's second consecutive term, right?
I
feel like if there was another president, I surely would have remembered anything that he did during that 4 years.
I just remember everything he screwed up. But at the same time, what I'm loving is that the real effort. I tell you what, I mean, I'm going off the cuff here, but I tell you one of the things that's really striking to me is we're watching campaign promises get fulfilled in real time. Like, not like, well, it's hard when you take office. You've got a lot to do, and I plan to get to that somewhere in the middle of my first term. It's just happening all at one time.
Yeah, and it's Democrats are surprised. It's almost like he campaigned on every single thing that he's doing right now. he told him what he was going to do.
You ever seen the old thing in the movies where like the bad guy or starts shooting at the feet of the person, making them dance?
Yes.
That's what's happening right now. Trump's got them dancing. I mean, you got Schumer out there holding up a bottle of Corona at a press conference going, this beer is going to be too expensive for Americans to buy. And before the press conference is over, Mexico has already capitulated and decided to help us with the southern border. It's just nuts, man. All right, Panama. JP brought up a great story, which I'll be honest with you, I think is also flying under the radar. Would you agree?
100%. Yeah. It's a big story.
It's a big story. So you heard, we talked about on the show pretty good bit the last couple of weeks, Trump wants the Panama Canal back. Hey, we built it. We sacrificed blood and treasure to build it. It changed the world economy. Ships are still built to fit to the Panama Canal that we built. And yet now, for some reason, we have Jimmy Carter gave the Panama Canal away, and we have to pay for rite of passage 40% of all container ship traffic for the United States' economy goes through the Panama Canal. 40%. That's massive. It's a multi-billion dollar impact to the U.S. economy. Not only that, our force projection, our naval vessels travel through it, and they get charged millions of dollars per ship just to go through. It's unreal the way we're being treated at the canal that we built. Trump wants it back. Wants it back from who? Panama? Well, maybe. He definitely wants it back from China. China, you say? China. Because China has had negotiated trade agreements with Panama that give them the ability to run the operations of the canal. Now, let's think about this for a second. If we got into a hot war with China or even a trade war with China, and China wanted to go ahead and just be belligerent, they could find reasons why, well, we're going to have to close the canal for maintenance. And next thing you know, everything we have is sailing down south around the Cape, or not at all, or having to fly out, or having to go to western ports on California, which means more expensive rail and truck. I'm just telling you, the Panama Canal is a huge piece of our economy. Well, Rubio went to Panama. The brand spanking new Secretary of State Marco Rubio, fresh out the box. He just went on down to Panama, had him a discussion with Jose Raul Mulino, Panama's president, who then came out and announced that after meeting with Secretary Rubio, he was canceling all agreements with China.
Literally right after.
Woo! Can I have some applause or something or a boom? Or give me something over there, man. That's all of it. During his visit, Rubio put a post on X. He said, "The United States cannot and will not allow the Chinese Communist Party to continue with its effective and growing control over the Panama Canal area." And so, yeah, Panama just announced they are ending the Belt and Road Initiative that China has been extending to them for the last, I don't know how many years, and said they will not be renewing their 2017 memorandum with China. And that is going to bring, basically, the Panama Canal back under Panamanian control. And I suspect there's going to be something in the background that says, oh, by the way, America's going to have a good slice of the action. What do you think?
I think so. Which, by the way, can I just say, obviously, if they offered it up, Trump would take it, but I don't think Trump was truly negotiating to get the Panama Canal back. I think he was negotiating for this right here, at least get China out of it. And it's the sort of strategy, like I said, where he starts at the extreme and works backwards. You know, I think this is having China out of it is the main result he wanted. Yep. I mean, if Panama was like, hey, take Panama, take it back, he would take it, obviously, but I think this is what he was truly, you know, shooting for and wanting.
And there's going to be something in there that benefits Panama. You watch. And I don't mind that. Something in there that benefits Panama and our relations with them. We're going to wind up, I don't know, having some kind of a trade agreement with them, assisting them with, you know, parts and supplies and maintenance or whatever else for the canal. Who knows? Maybe we won't demand that they lower the cost of our right of passage fees that we spend. I don't know. All I know is China's leaving. And it was one visit. Yeah. One.
I mean, like,
Rubio flew down there.
I don't say this exact, like, I'm not being exaggerative. I'm being dead serious. I don't think I've ever seen a government be so effective, like, at all. Like, the whole bureaucracy of everything has a process and due time. We have to sit around at a table and discuss things. And it's like, nah, just make a trip down and, well, I mean, we're the United States of America. Why can't we do that, you know?
That's right. We can rest in 4 years.
Yeah. It's awesome to see. No, I'm not tired of the winning. the clip of Trump in 2016 is like, you'll get tired of the winning. There'll be so much winning. You say, I can't handle the winning.
I mean, just today. What have we seen in the last 24 hours? Let me do a recap for the break. In the last 24 hours, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem went down to the border and rode with the horse patrols on the southern border. Today, the Secretary of Defense went down there with the border czar, Tom Homan, and made an appearance on the southern border. Over the weekend, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, went to Panama, got China kicked out, and won us passage rights that we didn't have before on the Panama Canal. Rick Grenell, who I'm not even sure what position he has right now, but he's like an emissary, he went down to Venezuela, freed six Americans, and got it worked out to where Maduro is not going to refuse to take back the illegal immigrants we shipped back to him. And then Canada caved, and then Mexico caved, and then the tariff war ended in 12 hours. I mean, what the heck, man?
That doesn't even talk about DEI the week before.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, yeah, so much winning.
So much winning. We're just barnstorming right now.
Yeah.
You know what? This is where, like, if you were on the basketball court, it's a full court press.
Mm-hmm.
This is a full court press. The coach didn't even say pace yourself. He just said, press it. And that's what they're doing. We're taking a break. We're taking a break right now. Whew. By the way, I just said everything I know about basketball strategy right there.
It was dead on, so there you go.
We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I will say this before I jump into the next piece of America First is, in terms of more than just the trade negotiations and all that, there is an article on Red State came out yesterday saying that Trump is unloading on the UK and the EU over unfair trade practices. So they're next to the crosshairs. Apparently, he's looking at Great Britain. He goes, the EU is taking advantage of us. We have over a $300 billion deficit. They don't take our cars. They don't take our farm products. They take almost nothing, and we take everything from them. And then he says the UK is out of line, but I'm sure that can be worked out. So what he basically did was he pointed at the UK, but then he said, we can work on something. $350 billion trade deficit with the EU. Work it out, man. They're watching. By the way, do not mistake for a second what is happening. The low-hanging fruit was Mexico, Panama, Venezuela, maybe even Canada, but the rest of the world is watching. The EU is a bigger ticket, and the EU, they'll negotiate, but the EU is a whole bunch of factions all in one. And so... what's happening right now on the world stage, the rest of the world is watching, and they're seeing it, and they're like, holy crap. He's like blazing a trail. He's like Sherman marching to the sea right now. Tom Homan, by the way, who happens to be one of my favorite people, there may come a day when some of these folks fall from grace with me, but they have yet to do it. It's only been 10 days. I feel like they've been in office for a year. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, it does.
Border Czar Tom Homan, Daily Wire, has his piece, came out yesterday. Homan announced staggering drops in illegal border crossings. He says, we got the numbers this morning. This is during a Sunday morning Fox interview. He says, we got the numbers this morning. The crossings on the border are down 93%. 93% drop in 10 days. Do you understand what that means? I mean, he says, we've achieved success on the border already. We got more work to do. And as far as deportations, he said, we've arrested about 5,000 in the first week, and the majority of them are criminals. He said the non-criminals the media were talking about were arrested in sanctuary cities because the sanctuary cities forced us into the communities rather than letting us walk into the jails and take bad guys. He says, you want to be a sanctuary city, you're going to get more agents. Wow.
Well, just speak. I hate to bring them back up. But...
oh, what did you? What? What?
I wonder if that's going to be the case in Birmingham, if Wolfen's going to declare Birmingham a sanctuary city, if we're going to see the similar thing happen there.
I got to look back, but I'm almost positive the state legislature addressed that issue in the last couple of years.
Well,
I could be wrong.
Let me rephrase. Him declaring, whether it is or not, him declaring that it's a sanctuary city and him not being cooperative, I wonder how that's going to, we could see the same thing going on in Birmingham.
I don't know. Tell you who else is on notice. Bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cartels are now labeled as terrorist organizations. And then here's something else. Did you know over the weekend we attacked ISIS?
I did see that, yeah.
Okay. Because most Somalia, of the world doesn't.
Right?
Yeah, Somalia, yeah. President Trump, New York Post, Dateline Saturday. President Trump directed a military attack on Saturday on a high-ranking ISIS leader and his cohorts in Somalia, sending a resounding message to terrorists the world over in his second week in office. Just whacking them, man. Just taking a big stick. This is a quote from Trump. These killers who we found hiding in caves threatened the United States and our allies. The strikes destroyed the caves they live in and killed many terrorists without harming civilians. He said the message to ISIS and all others who would attack Americans is, all caps here, we will find you and we will kill you. This is Wyatt Earp stuff right now.
That's a lot more intimidating than Biden and Kamala saying, don't, don't,
don't,
don't,
don't.
And then they did every single time.
And then they looked at it and go, well, we told you don't. So now we're telling you again, don't.
We're going to tell you in a meaner way this time.
It's
don't.
It's don't. It's like lots of don'ts.
Except Trump actually kills them, you know.
Trump is doing the whole Wyatt Earp. I mean, you have seen Tombstone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Trump is doing the whole Wyatt Earp. You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
We're going after the Cowboys. Anybody who wears a red sash, I shoot them on sight. That's where we are. That strike, by the way, took out ISIS operatives in the cooperatives in the Kalmaskad Mountains in the Bahia region in the war-torn eastern African nation. Okay, bottom line is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said multiple terrorist operatives were killed, further degrading ISIS's ability to plot and conduct terrorist attacks. I mean, you know what it also shows? It shows we know where they are.
Yeah.
And they're not able to hide. Okay, we didn't even get into Musk and Doge. We're going to have to do some Musk and Doge when we get back. Because Doge, who let the Doge out, man? There's going to be a theme song now.
That's the first time I've heard that, actually. Who let the Doge out?
All right, it's mine. I claim it. Who let the Doge out? All right, we're going to come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about y'all from Huntsville to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, down yonder in that prettiest little town on the plains in Auburn. And oh, by the way, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're gonna keep going here. I'm gonna be getting into the Doge here in just a minute because Doge made some news. Who let the Doge out? That's what I'm saying. And we just saw Elon Musk just like basically freak out the Democrats. I mean, the Chicken Littles have the sky falling left and right. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. Let me go to the phones first of all. That'd be Jeffro from Indiana. Hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but you know where I'm at.
Oh, you're doing pretty good, even though you're in the turnstile of non-moving, right?
It's moving right along for now.
Well, good.
I'm not gonna count my chickens yet.
Well, what you think about all this stuff, man? Is it too much winning? What are we doing?
Can you imagine where we'd be at now if Harris would have won, or if they put Joe Biden back in?
The only thing about it is I'd had plenty to talk about on the show, but I'd rather talk about the winning.
Well, you got plenty to talk about now because Trump's moving so fast you can't keep up with the story.
I'm literally not able to get to all the material I have today. I've got a whole dipper I won't even get to, and I'm not even going to get to half of this one, and I haven't even touched text messages in the last 45 minutes. This is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you remember when George Bush was in there and they always had the little thing here, are you missing me yet?
Yeah.
I really did miss Trump so bad. I mean, it's been such a fiasco the last 4 years. Who'd have ever thought it could have got that low and now to come back to this high?
I know, and I'll be honest with you, if we didn't have the House and the Senate to back it, we'd still be getting a lot of this done, but we'd have a whole lot more trouble. And so I'm just glad that as narrow as the majorities are, that we've got the House and Senate to work with as well.
I'm just hoping this is an education for the American people because
if
they don't learn from this, they're just too dumb to learn, I guess you'd say. But how long do you think it'll be for Ukraine and Russia conflict's over? I give 6 months myself.
I'd say in the next 6 months you're going to see. I bet you're going to see a negotiated agreement starting in the next 90 days, and I bet you within 6 months they will have stabilized into whatever their new status quo is going to be.
Yeah, I believe the conflict will be over because we're not going to keep sending money over there to kill more people and basically and and Russia is going to be under so much pressure and stuff that they're going to have to, you know, to buckle up, you know, otherwise they're going to basically destroy themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
economically anyway.
Well, they already are. I mean, they've had the massive losses, and economic sanctions have hurt them. But here's the thing. When Trump really gets the American energy sector back online and people who've been buying from Russia realize they have an alternative and all we have to do is undercut them on the market and then ship it to them, they're going to quit buying Russian oil and gas. And all of a sudden, Russia's economy is going to take a major hit. And the only way they can survive is to reach an agreement with the United States. And they don't want to do it, but they will.
Yeah. And as far as even hostage negotiations and everything, you know, Biden was sending pallets of cash over, you know, and stuff, yeah. And sending, you know, it's 1,000 to 1, you know, for hostages and everything. Now we're going to have them be going, please, sir, take back our hostages, and if you want, we'll pay you reparations
yeah.
for them or something.
Absolutely. Why not? Let's go ahead. By the way, can we get Hezbollah to go ahead and pay us and Hamas to pay us while we're at it? That'd be great.
I can't believe they haven't announced that all the hostages in the West Bank in Gaza has come back yet, because that's coming, I'm afraid, because I don't think things are happening fast enough, to tell you the truth.
No, and that's going, and by the way, the way they're releasing them is also maddening to watch. I mean, the way that they are abusing those prisoners, even on the way out the door, crowds swirling around them, screaming at them, trying to slap them as they go by, I mean... And Netanyahu is beside himself. But who's the very first international head of state visit that's coming to the White House? Netanyahu. So that
would
should
you
send
like
a bold
to be a
signal.
Fly on that wall?
Yeah, I would too. But that's going to send a bold signal to the Middle East that, I mean, Trump could have invited anybody, but he invited Netanyahu first.
Yeah.
All right, brother. I got to go get some stuff done here. What you got? Go ahead.
Win-win-win-win's all I can say. Have a good one, Phil.
All the winning. See you, man. I got to cover this story a little bit on Musk and Doge, and then I've got to get some text messages. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. Text it or call it. Same number for both. But let me jump on this Musk USAID thing, and I will just go ahead and be very honest and tell you that I have no love for USAID anyway. And I have seen massive amounts of liberal screaming hyperbole. Don't you understand? The world is saved because of USAID. I mean, this is apparently where the Messiah parks on the weekends. I did not know that. But USAID has like a $40 billion amount of appropriations just in the last year that they can dole out in international aid. Now, some of it goes to good stuff. I do agree. Some of it goes, I mean, if you're vaccinating children in Sudan, okay, that's important. And when other governments are stable, we don't have to go fight or defend issues or deal. I get it. Some of those things are important. A lot of them are not. A lot of them are waste, fraud, and abuse. A lot of them are just crap. When it came out last week that millions and millions of dollars were being set aside to send condoms to the Taliban. What? What? Listen, I said earlier in the show, USAID, when I was in Afghanistan at the beginning of the war, I was on a remote team in the middle of nowhere. And part of my job, aside from, you know, combat ops and negotiating things with the local governance that we were helping stand up, was to try to bring some measure of relief to the area. And we would do what we called impact projects. And we would get schools rebuilt or, you know, pay local contractors to do things. And then USAID would come swoop in once in a while. I think twice while I was there. For a year, living among the Afghan people, USAID would make known through our headquarters they'd like to come out to our area, which meant that everything we did had to come to a stop so we could protect them while they flew out there and made promises they couldn't keep. I saw it happen more than once. I'll never forget one of them. He was going to help the farmers in that area. They were going to build, they're going to put a lot of money. Oh, it's going to be great. All of you local leaders understand we're USAID. We're going to put a lot of money into helping your agrarian society here to rebuild itself. Should have you some money in the next couple of months. All I know is the local warlord kept asking me where it was. And all I could say was, sir, I have no idea. That was USAID. That was not me. But USAID has become a cesspool of waste, fraud, and abuse. Do they do some good things? Of course they do. But they take money and they send it to inane things around the world while we've got people in North Carolina still living in tents because Hurricane Helene wiped out their house. We're sending money for condoms to Gaza and to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Well, the Department of Government Efficiency, basically, it's almost like they staged a raid. You know what it feels like? It's almost like they staged a raid on USAID's offices.
Well, they even did a Twitter space last night at midnight to give people a rundown of all the progress they made so far. So not only are they doing a raid, but, I mean, they're up working late at night.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Biden administration, they all went to bed with Biden, I think.
They put a lid on the day at like 3 p.m.
Yep.
I will say this. There was a piece, Wired Magazine, which is, you know, in the tech industry magazine. Wired Magazine has, quote, identified six young men, all apparently between the ages of 19 and 24, according to public databases. Their online presences and other records, who have little to no government experience, are now playing critical roles in Department of Government Efficiency. Somebody grabbed that statement and tweeted out, which Elon Musk, I'll tell you what he said in a minute. Somebody tweeted out about that. Elon has six Adderall-fueled autistic tech bro-zoomers sleeping overnight at the Doge offices working 24-7 to maximize government efficiency. Six Adderall-fueled autistic tech bro-zoomers sleeping at the Doge office, grinding it out.
I trust them more than anyone in the Biden administration.
Musk grabbed hold of that tweet himself and retweeted it and said, not many Spartans are needed to win battles. But yeah, they did. They went in. So first of all, there are, I want to say, 56 members. More than 50 senior USAID staff members placed on administrative leave and subjected to gag orders. The top two security chiefs at USAID were put on leave after refusing to turn over, in this case, classified material, which I got to be honest with you, it's still classified material. Now, how classified can USAID be? I get it. They're going to have some classifications. They're going to, but surely to goodness. They're not, I mean, if there's black money, it's not coming through USAID except, you know, in what they call a NOC status, in a way that can be non-attributed to the United States intelligence agencies. But it's amazing that this just happened. I mean, this is Trump operating at the speed of light right now. And Doge, you look at it and go, did Elon just get out of hand? Did Elon just step in places where he wasn't supposed to go? Nope. President Donald Trump complimented Musk's decision-making on Sunday when he was asked about the USAID on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews. When he was asked, was he delivering on his promises? He said, yeah, I think Musk is delivering on his promises. He's a smart guy. He's doing a good job. He's a big cost cutter. Sometimes we won't agree with it. Don't want to go where he wants to go, but I think overall he's doing a great job cutting the budget. Y'all. So much winning. You got to find that audio clip, by the way, of Trump saying that.
Have to. Which, by the way, talking about Elon, I'm tired of seeing like people like AOC crying, saying, nobody voted for Elon to run the country.
Yes, they did.
I did. I'm glad. I 100% part of my, I mean, I was going to vote for Trump anyways, but I fully was okay in endorsing Elon coming in and cleaning house like he is right now. So, yeah, I did. I'll raise my hand and tell you 100% I voted for this.
We knew about Doge before we cast our votes.
Yes.
And we already knew where it was headed. And the chicken littles in the Democrat Party are having a complete come apart right now. Well, they didn't get to do much when it came to Mexico's tariff war or Canada's tariff war because those both went on hold within 12 hours.
Yeah. Not a long-lived tariff war or trade war.
So right now, all they can scream about is Congress should have the final say in what happens to USAID. Congress ain't gonna. Congress never would. And so what's going to wind up happening is the guy who writes the checks, which is Trump, the guy who writes the checks is going to say, hold off on spending any of that money until I see what it is. And then he's going to bring out a list and he's going to say, this, and this makes no sense whatsoever. And then Congress has a chance to go, woo, you're right. Let's revise that appropriation and reallocate those funds to something more meaningful, like, I don't know, FEMA. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We will take that break. We'll come right back. I got some text messages I got to get because you guys are prolific texters today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got to get some text messages. You guys are awesome. Thomas from Athens says, Trump was vaccine warp speed development. These 100 days are just warp speed 2.0 from MAGA. I would say that's fair. Chris from Gadsden says, on USAID, are you trying to tell me that there are some government agencies that are wasting our tax dollars? Chris, I am. Scott from Athens says, I've seen that. Instead of the Dukes of Hazzard, he's got the Dukes of D.C. And it's Doge Dogs with Trump sitting on a classic. Actually, that's a modern-day Challenger painted orange. With instead of having the number 10 on the side, it's D10. I'm not sure what to think about all that. But okay, thanks. Appreciate it. AI can make any kind of picture, can't they?
Yeah.
Clint, it's kind of scary. Clint from Tony, Alabama says, Phil, I knew when you could finally talk about positive news rather than the criminal administration of Biden, you might start having too much fun. Enjoy, but remember to breathe. Like Clint. The ruminating rocker from Flint Creek says, thank you, thank you, and more thank you. Oh, then he also said, play Who Let the Dogs Out for Doge, please. We're going to come back to that, don't worry. We may have to, like, make our own.
I got a couple of sound effects that have been requested I'm going to have to look into ASAP.
Okay. I'm a little worried about that now. Ross from Huntsville says, hi, Phil. Is anyone talking about Tommy Battle going woke in Huntsville? No one's talking about Tommy Battle going woke in Huntsville. Now, I will say this. I don't like the fact that DEI office is still going on, but that doesn't mean that everything he does is woke. But I don't get it, and I don't know why it's there. And, yes, we talked about it a little bit last week, and we'll probably talk about it more soon. Thanks, Ross. Brian from Huntsville says, 93% decrease in illegal crossings. Did they electrify the Rio Grande? That's a great idea. Wow. No, they just basically said don't cross it anymore, and they're saying, okay. Ken from Harvest says, you said it feels like President Trump and Mr. Homan have been doing this job for a year. That's because they've done more in 10 days than the Harris-Biden administration did in a year, or 4 years for that matter. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Jerry from Decatur says, winning and grinning is all that. Happy is the nation that is on the right side. Airborne. Appreciate you, Jerry. Michael from Taft, Tennessee says, hey, JP, why don't you grab a group yelling USA, USA on all this winning? Is that a sound effect he's talking about? Yeah. It's like the whole restaurant that I was in Georgetown that broke out yelling USA for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Mark from Red Bay says, I can see Schumer holding that bottle of beer and someone whispers to him, Mexico just caved. And then he turns it up and reaches for another. Oh, my gosh. I got to save time to get John's grades in, but I got a few more text messages first. Flip from Priceville says Trump can do what he wants because he's not worried about being reelected. I think it's a great thing. You know what, though? Here's the thing. I think Trump has the Ronald Reagan mentality of this. There was a time when Ronald Reagan, I believe he was talking to his national security advisor. Was it Weinberger? But he's talking to his national security advisor. And he was told that whatever it was he was looking at was political suicide. And he looked at him and said, I didn't get elected to get reelected. Let's do the right thing. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is called statesmanship. And I believe Trump, I don't think it matters that Trump's, I mean, he knows for a fact that his legacy is going to be what happens, whether he was going to get reelected or not.
I don't think it's the not having to be reelected. I think it's the having been there, done that, and know mistakes he made and how to affect it. Like, he already knows what he didn't know last time.
I think he also knows how desperate they are and the lengths to which they will go to stop the agenda. So he knows he's got to get it done as quickly as possible.
Don't give him time to react.
That's right. Keep him on their heels.
Just pound them and pound them with winning.
Pound of shock and awe, baby. Shock and awe. Have the Dems ever looked more anti-American than right now? TV from Toonerville asks. It says, go Trump, go. Bruce from Springville says, so now Geppetto Trump has Pinocchio Trudeau back under his strings. Bruce, well played, sir. Danny from Pinhook, Alabama says, Trump made a preemptive strike on Canada because when the fentanyl flow stops from Mexico, it'll increase from Canada. Well, he had to do both. I mean, absolutely. I agree with you. He's securing our borders, not our border. Badger from Athens says, speaking of Space City, any news on the rocket? No. I need to find out about that. Dadgummit, I keep forgetting about that. Brian S. from Huntsville says, I actually lived for about 10 years on Lady Ann Lake in an apartment, the proposed site of Space City, USA. It's a beautiful spot. Nice neighborhood around there. Would have been a massive theme park. All right, John from Huntsville has the daily grades in. He says, Jeff from Indiana gets an A-plus for his fantastic phone call. JP gets an A-double-plus for his amazing spot-on commentaries. However, today's winner is obviously Phil with a gigantic meatloaf-sized A-triple-plus for his awesome Doge comments. Congratulations, John from Huntsville. John, we appreciate you, man. And is that meatloaf as in the food, or is that meatloaf as in the classic rock singer? I'll take
either or.
Both are big. All right, listen, you guys. We're glad you're with us. And don't forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.